Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
844 and a half. That would be 15 and a half before 9 o'clock. Tommy Tucker, WWL, Monday, September 26th. Ian is going into Florida, not our concern. A cool front is coming through, though, and the next couple of days are going to be pretty fall-like. Jeff McCausland joins us right now, Colonel Jeff McCausland, a CBS military analyst, to talk about the latest with the war in Ukraine. Good morning, Colonel. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, sir. I see a story here right back at you that says an occupied city of Kherson. Some Ukrainian men are breaking their own arms so the Russians won't force them into military service. What is going on in Ukraine with Russia?
Well, what's going on, Tom, is last week Vladimir Putin gave a speech on the 21st in which he really escalated the war in three ways. One is he called for a mobilization of up to 300,000 Russians to make up for the shortage of manpower the Russians are suffering after having significant casualties over the last 7 months. Secondly, he actually suggested and threatened to use nuclear weapons in the defense of Russia. Part of that, I think, is to change the narrative in Russia and underscore in his mind that Russia is a victim, Russia's future is threatened, to rally the people to his cause. It's certainly also trying to intimidate the West and the Ukrainians. And the third thing is he announced that there would be a referendum, which is ongoing. I think it's scheduled to end tomorrow in the areas that Russia occupies, in part at least, of four provinces of Ukraine. We know how this will work out. It's a sham. And they'll suddenly announce in a couple of days that a massive majority have called for being part of the Russian Federation. And that'll be subsequently rubber stamped by the Duma. And back to that mobilization, as you suggest, calling up these 300,000 reservists and some other people who have never been in the military, there's been an enormous hue and cry across Russia in dozens of cities. We see massive numbers of young Russians trying to flee. As you suggest, somebody said, you know, how to break your arm is the most sought-after item on the Internet in Russia right now, and long lines of cars as Russians try to flee across the border into Armenia, Georgia, and Finland to escape this scoop-up and taken off to fight the war in Ukraine.
Is his plan here to go into an occupied territory? So basically he's saying, I'm going to go into a place, and I saw this line over the weekend, and I thought it was a good one. I don't know where I saw it, but, you know, to you, this is just a place. To us, this is our home. So he's going to occupy a place, then he's going to take the people that are in that place and conscript them to fight against their own country. Is that what the plan is here?
Yeah, that's really in part what it's all about, because, again, once that territory is deemed to be part of Russia, and those living there are Russian citizens, and they're then subjected to actually being conscripted. And don't forget that in addition to making that announcement about conscription, he further told all the soldiers that are contract soldiers who've been fighting for the Russian army in Ukraine for the last 7 months, oh, by the way, your enlistment might be scheduled to run out here in the next few weeks, but you now have been involuntarily extended until the war is over. So it seems to me soldiers who have already got poor morale, poor leadership, have been poorly trained and poorly supported, he's going to double down by finding more people who don't want to be there, who will be poorly trained, poorly equipped, and poorly motivated. Not exactly a recipe for success.
I'm going to oversimplify this if I can. So it'd be like if I go in and I invade Tim's country, and then I say, Tim, look, here's the deal. I'm going to give you a gun, and you can fight to help me take over the rest of your country. Well, I would think the first thing Tim's going to do is shoot me. Is that a sound military strategy, or am I missing something here?
No, not at all. And I think what it suggests, really, I would call this announcement of mobilization and the rest of what he did was really an admission of failure. Don't forget, Tom, and you and I talked about this several months ago. He fully expected back in February that this war would be over quickly. He'd be successful. He'd unseat Zelensky. There'd be some complaints from the West, but that would all quiet down, you know, over the coming months and maybe a couple of years. What he has found is that he has dramatically underrated the willingness of the Ukrainians to defend their country, and he has certainly overestimated the performance of his own military. So now he's bogged down, and he's lost up to, some suggest, 100,000 soldiers in terms of casualties over the last 7 months. So he's desperate. He had two options. One, he could have called for a ceasefire, perhaps tried to convince the Europeans to lean on the Ukrainians to negotiate and sort of freeze this conflict where he is, or he could double down and escalate. And unfortunately, he took the second path, and now he's doubling down, and this war will go on.
The U.S. has asked him to stop talking about nuclear weapons. Is that what's going on, or the U.N. did?
Well, both places did. In fact, the United States has been quietly communicating to Russia, you know, the consequences of any decision he might have to use nuclear weapons. And he was also roundly condemned by a host of countries across the world because this all occurred last week during the UN General Assembly meetings, which are ongoing in New York. So having done this, he's also further isolated himself in the world. And I think we'll see a number of the countries in so-called global South who have been at least neutral, if not tacitly supporting Russia, I think come over and realize that this is a threat to the international order. One country to watch, of course, will be, in fact, India. And finally, I think the probability of him using nuclear weapons is low, simply because it doesn't get him anywhere. He doesn't have the forces to exploit any operational opportunities that might offer. He's got to calculate that the West would respond massively. And finally, if you know anything about radiation, you know that it's a pattern. Though there might be massive radiation around the target area in Ukraine, the winds blow eastward, and a large portion of that radiation will end up on Russian territory.
So how does he end this? If I were him, I'd start plotting an end game right now, but is he?
I think he thinks he can still win, quite frankly. I think he can believe that he doubles down, his willpower is stronger than the West's determination, and that if he can hold it together till winter, the dramatic rising cost of energy, particularly in Western Europe, will result in social unrest. And over time, then we'll see a shattering of NATO, and then a lot of the Europeans trying then to influence the Ukrainians to come to the negotiating table in a fashion that Putin finds attractive.
Colonel, I know you got to go. You know, you're talking about nuclear weapons. Is there some type of like a something short of that that he could use, electromagnetic pulse or something like that?
Well, there's a whole bunch of other options he could do beyond this. I mean, he could mobilize more forces. He has about 2 million reservists. He could do that. He can always apply pressure around these nuclear power plants in Zaporizhzhia and elsewhere, which have sort of the same sort of intimidating effect without, you know, the blowback, perhaps. He could do a massive cyber attack. He could perhaps strike targets in NATO countries, particularly those locations that are critical to the resupply of Western armament to Ukraine. So there's other things he could do to escalate, and I think right now people in Washington and with our NATO partners need to ponder all those options and start thinking through what we're going to do, hopefully, to deter those actions, as well as how we're going to respond should he decide to escalate further.
A cornered animal can be dangerous. Thank you, Colonel. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, sir.
You have a good day. Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst, 852, 8 till 9. Monday morning, flying by. Let's look at traffic on WWL.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.